Hello, welcome back to another episode of Seeking Scale. Andy, how's it going?
Not bad. Yeah, I feel very accomplished in the sense of I don't consider myself like a handy person. And the last few weeks I've been doing some projects around the house. The first was getting a miter saw and putting some molding up in one of the bedrooms. And that was like not hard. It was just getting the equipment for it. And then understanding that the measure twice cut once thing is real. But after that, I was like, okay, got a little bit more confidence and then started changing out light switches for smart lights. And my friend showed me how to do it at their newer house. And I was like, oh, this is very easy. And it's not as though our house is old, but it's just old enough where when I opened up the switches, like the boxes for it, I was like, oh, this looks nothing like yours did. And there's like way more wires. A lot of these aren't used, but I feel like should be. But he came back over and showed me we got to figure it out. And so I've changed like 8 switches. And I feel
okay. Nice. Feel
pretty accomplished. Yeah.
Nice.
The business is going well, but the home front.
But the home improvement stuff's more fun sometimes. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I know you've got a lot of projects on your list. So.
Yeah. I mean, so our house was built in 1935. And so, yeah, there's a lot of that stuff that's just like weird. Like none of the plugs are like grounded, you know, have like the third prong unless they've upgraded them. And like, I don't know how to upgrade them and I'm not going to go like just stick a 3-plug receptacle no. without grounding.
Yeah.
I know that's bad. And there's just a ton of that stuff. Like I mentioned to you off air, like meeting with a roofing person, meeting with a heating and air person, like need a plumber for certain things. It's just like, oh my gosh. Like it just, my wife and her just like, okay, this month we can do this. And then in 2 months we can do that. And in 2 months we can do that. Cause we're not just going to like, you know, spend all the money at once because it's just silly. So yeah, keeps us busy weekends and evenings sometimes. But yeah, similarly working a lot in between. I think we're going to have a pretty like boring like admin episode maybe is what we would call this. Like we're not going to talk any like product or marketing or sales or anything else.
I can touch on like a little product stuff to keep it interesting. Yeah.
Cool. Sounds good. I think just generally, like to be fair, the admin stuff is stuff that like nobody likes talking about, but is like operations is like really important at all sizes. And maybe kind of like, especially at ours, where we're like outgrowing some things that worked before, but don't work now. So maybe important to keep track of some of this stuff.
Yeah. And I mean, I've complained about the admin stuff for a long time. And the last week, really last week or two has been just knocking out the bigger things that had been on the list forever. And so we were just talking before we recorded about Main Street, mainstreet.com. They help with research and development credits, which if you're listening and have W-2 employees in the US, I think actually even contractors, but this might be a different credit for that or calculate differently, whatever. But like if you have US-based employees and run a SaaS company, there's almost definitely a good amount of credits that you can legitimately get. And there is a performance-based thing where I think they get, you can maybe negotiate a certain scale, but like the default is probably like 20% of what they save you or what they get you, because it's not just like a savings. It's truly a tax credit. And so it can be applied towards payroll taxes or whatever else and just lower what you actually owe. And it's been good, but I just knew like it's just a lot of moving pieces and they're definitely hyper-growth startup. And so they started just a couple of years ago, and I'm sure they've raised tens, if not 100 plus million, and have gotten very big. And there's just like a lot of moving pieces to it where you fill out questionnaires and tell them about your expenses. And then there's sort of like an audit process on their side to make sure everything lines up with what you're saying. Then they interface with whoever's preparing your taxes to make sure you file things correctly to claim these credits. But then you have to do something else to actually use the credits and have them apply towards payroll or whatever else. And it was like that last step. Like we filed for the credits, but just at the time when I was doing this, it was just a messy process for how to actually tell Gusto that, hey, we have this credit. So rather than deducting payroll taxes from us, there's some form we're supposed to give you. And then you know to like not, we don't have to pay it. It's going to just come out of our credit. But the way Main Street presented it was just like, frankly, really confusing. There's a lot of details there. And then it was one of those things. So I was like, yeah, like I'll get to this. And then just didn't. And fortunately, like, we can still get the credit. it's going to be a bigger pain in the ass than it would have been then. But they've also now have like dedicated account reps. So it's like the person I've been talking with has been actually super helpful and has gotten like an hour long call with me and pulls in the people needed to figure out exactly what's going on. And it's been good at this point. But yeah, that was like one of the big things, just been on the list for months and months. And backing up a little, I feel like what often will derail me on these admin tasks is when it's just not clear exactly what I'm supposed to do.
Right. Yes.
And so I'm like, all right, like, yeah, I know I need to look into this. And then a month will go by and I'm like, all right, I'm going to look into this. And I'll be like navigating 20 emails and trying to piece together, like, I don't even actually know what I'm supposed to do. The link they send here is not valid anymore. Like, and then you just get stuck. And like, maybe I'll send an email, but when I get a reply, I'm not actually working on it anymore. And so it's just like leaving things in that ambiguous state is just horrible. And it's like a big tenet of Getting Things Done, the David Allen book. But yeah, that's where I got stuck. And so anyways, this week, knocked out a lot of those things, for starting with Main Street. But it's like we're switched from Gusto to Just Works. And so that's been its own headache. But then it also complicates the tax credit situation. And if you have to file amended returns, that's usually something Gusto would do. But we're no longer with Gusto. And so it's kind of snowballed. But I feel like I'm making progress. I don't know.
Nice, nice. Yeah, so we have not used Main Street until now. I know of them for sure. And I'm going to be kind of reaching out to see about that. I would assume we can only apply for credits from last year at this point, not any previous years, which is fine. Like we didn't have, I think we had one US employee before last year and then added several last year. So we should be able to get like a decent amount of credits there.
And yeah, a lot of what the credits are for is it's beneficial to us, where a lot of the work our developers are doing is not like customer facing. It's truly just like, it is literally research and development. These are projects where we're going in, we're trying to build models for new sports, for new things that we're not sure of the outcome. And it is a risk in that. So like it fits nicely into that. But I was also very surprised about how permissive the rules are for the credits, and like a lot of development work in any SaaS company will qualify for it. So I would definitely recommend looking at that.
I'm laughing as you're talking about Gusto and Just Works and stuff. So in my browser right now, I have 1, 2, 3, 4 of my open, like 12 tabs are different state agencies and forms and garbage that like, I don't even know what to do. Like we live in Rhode Island. I just registered the company registered as an employer in the state. And of course I get like something in the mail, not email. I get something in the mail with like an account summary, and I go into Gusto to enter that account number, and it's not the right number. It's like one digit too long. And so I call, like there's no email address, call. I get transferred 3 times back to the original person. I called the state.
Okay.
Back to the original person. And I just hung up because I was like, I'm embarrassed. Like, honestly, I'm embarrassed. Like, I'm a reasonably smart person. This is not the first time we've done this, you know? And like, and Gusto gets to the point where like, if you're not registered, you can't, run payroll for the whole company, not just for me, like for the whole company. I'm like, I'm just going to do this next week at this point. Cause like, I can't just be frustrated. And some of them are like, you can't get that account number until after you've run payroll, which I think is the situation here. So I tricked maybe Gusto and said, yes, we've registered, but I haven't run payroll yet. It'll let me run payroll. And then next month I'll get the big,
you're
about to get fucked banner when I log in.
And I feel like I've complained a ton about the forms and the state notices and stuff. And like, if you knew exactly what to do, none of it's that complicated, but I don't know what to do. And so it's these things where I just have to coordinate 5 different places on like, what do I actually do here? I'm like, oh, is this the right thing for that? And then it's just very easy to put it off because frankly, you can spend an hour and not really be that much ahead of like, what am I actually trying to do here? You put it off, you come back to it, like, oh yeah, this is why I put it off again and keep putting it off. And it just sucks. And so that was my main motivation really for moving to Just Works, was that every time we hire an employee in a new state, it's the same thing over and again. And then it's just like one more place where they're going to send me something throughout the year that I just don't know what to do with. And with a PEO, they basically seems like they're supposed to like handle that for you because they're the ones that register with the state. What I found out is it's not quite that simple, but it's close enough. And honestly, I feel like with JustWorks, once we get set up, which I think we've run payroll. So like that part's at least working. The hard part is that they just frankly didn't do a good job of helping me close loose ends. And I would excuse it for a smaller company, but not a company that's raised 9 figures, where it's like oftentimes I'm like, oh, we'll just set up like a onboarding email sequence and I'll tell people everything they need to know. But I'd be getting these emails with onboarding stuff. I'd be getting emails from an account rep and then just what seemed like random emails. And you're getting all these emails and some of them are just nonsense. Some say do this, some say do that, some just don't say anything. And trying to figure out, okay, like what are the things I actually have to do here? And it was just tough. And they sent me like my account rep was like, okay, so because you're in Maine, you're moving from Gusto to JustWorks. That means you have your own workers' comp with or unemployment insurance account with Maine. So what you should do is fill out this form to close that account and tell them you're closing it, not because you're growing out of business, but because you're switching to PEO. And I was like, yeah, that makes sense. But I'm like, what about all these other states? And they're just like, oh, well, like if you would have needed to do that for the other states, you would have gotten an email about it. I was like, I don't think so. I'm sure, but like I didn't get other emails and I'm pretty sure I've registered. They're like, yeah, but if you have employees in those states, that's when you send the email. Like, no, like you can look in my account and you see that we have employees in other states.
Exactly. Yeah.
And so it took, the emails just didn't go anywhere where like form replies is like probably a bit too, they were a little bit better than like a form reply that I was getting, but not much. And so I just had to be like, hey, like, let's just get on a call. Cause like, this is clearly like, we're not syncing up here and I don't know what I need to do. And so it was like getting on the call. And then the start of it is based on that form email again. I'm like, yeah. So if you have an employees in other states where JustWorks is going to take over for that, then you might have to do this. I'm like, well, like we do. So what do we have to do here? Right. Like, oh, like what states? I'm just like, okay. Like name off. Like, okay. Like we'll check in. And like, she was helpful once I kind of just like got through to her, like what you're saying makes sense, but it's just not, this is not working right now.
Like it's not giving you any value, right?
Like no. Like that's the thing. It's like, yes, if your systems work this way automatically, that'd be great, but they just clearly don't. And so it took a lot of back and forth, but finally got like the clear answer of, yes, I have to close out these other state accounts. JustWorks has documentation on how to do that. The hitch is that some states, this is not like tax or legal advice, but like in my quick browsing, it seems like most states allow the PEO to do everything for you, where the PEO basically opens an account for you or manages your account or whatever it is. But you don't personally, your company does not need its own account with the state. There are some states where that's not the case, where you still have to have the account and then JustWorks can file on your behalf, but it's still your account. I didn't know that up front, but fortunately, all the states that we have employees in allow the PEO to just do it all through them.
Can JustWorks create that account for you, or do you still have to create that account in the terrible state website?
I don't know. Okay. I think, because like, so thankfully, like we've already created all the accounts.
Right. Okay.
And so there's not new accounts you have to create. I would hope they can, but I honestly have no idea. And I wouldn't actually be that surprised if they refer you to like a shitty vendor like Gusto did, of like, hey, here's someone who's going to have you fill out an Excel spreadsheet that asks you everything on the website. And then they
put
might
your credit card details in Excel. So yeah, there's that agency that does it. You referred me to a maybe newcomer in the space called Mosey, Mosey.
Yeah. So this is one where it was like, basically, so like to wrap up the JustWorks thing, like once I was able to get on the phone with them, once I was able to make it clear that what they said would automatically happen didn't happen, they were helpful. There's still things I need to do to tie up my loose ends, but it seems like things going forward are going to be fine. But yeah, then tangentially, I'm also looking at sales tax compliance and all those other things. And then when I'm digging into that, I'm also thinking about what returns we should be filing with what other states based on having W-2 employees there. And it's like, yeah, the forms are annoying, but there's more to it than that. And so, yeah, when I was on Twitter this morning, I saw this tweet about Mozy.so, and yeah, it just says the description, Mozy makes it easy to set up and manage compliance in every state so you can hire anywhere with confidence. I'm like, oh, this is literally speaking, like this touches on exactly what I am going through. Don't really know what they completely do yet, but it seems like they are effectively going to be like one of those vendors that files with the states for you, tells you when you need to do things, but they actually have like more software around it. So you can go in and at a glance, see where everything's at, where it's like with, I think it was like CorpNet or something that we had used. It was like a la carte. You would come in, tell them what you wanted. They would do it. It was not really advice. The only reminders they send me right now are things that like don't actually apply to anything. It just wasn't helpful. Whereas the promise of Mozy, and again, I'm saying this is like, it's invite only right now. I do not have an invite. I haven't used it. I'm just looking at the site. It seems like it just gives you a dashboard that gives you a good overview of like, hey, here's what to do. You need to do this. You need to do that on these dates with these states. What are the risks around it? And that they can actually do a lot of it for you. So this would be something like I would probably will use, but it would be something that I could see in a much bigger company like at like a Zapier, where their head of HR or someone in their HR department is in here to make sure that things are moving along. Cause like you just need insight when you have that many employees. I mean, it's hard to track when we have like six W-2s and then the contractors and everything. So long story short, making progress. I'm optimistic that this will make things easier in the long run, but I haven't quite gotten there yet.
Yeah. Yeah. Not over the hump. I mean, this is kind of pertinent to some stuff that we're working on. Oh, by the way, got some solid kind of feedback and like engagement on Twitter from last week's episode talking about like backups and security and things like that. So appreciate everybody reaching out to offer their kind of advice or input insights. And definitely the same for this. I think Andy and I don't have this stuff figured out with the tools and process and visibility. I think this is super important. And it's kind of the same theme as last week is like the risk of the company goes up as it gets bigger. And things like not filing state sales tax is something that we all have to worry about now that we're, you know, bigger companies and are operating bigger state or states. And yeah, I mean, from our end, like two things. What, like from our end, we stayed with Gusto this year and we added like healthcare insurance and 401k. And it was amazingly easy. If it would have been hard, we would have switched to CorpNet, but they use...
No, it just works. You'll never switch to CorpNet.
I'm sorry, just works. Yeah, thank you. I'll never switch to CorpNet. No, I'll never, ever, ever. Yeah, but like a PEO, you know, I thought has better insurance options and are cheaper. I've heard the opposite from some tiny seed companies. Insurance through JustWorks is not any cheaper than it would have been through, like we're through United Healthcare, through Gusto and like a small business plan. Anyways, it was all really easy. Like 401k with matching, really easy. Insurance, a handful of people, I guess like, yeah, a handful of people are using our insurance now. All that was like super easy. And so it's just a matter of like managing the state stuff and the taxes. And that's what gets me into the second part is like a lot of my work since the beginning of the year really has been around like finances and reporting and visibility and accountability and stuff to me being accountable to the business for some finance stuff. We're definitely not there yet, but I'm starting to think about like a fractional CFO kind of role that would be helpful. One, because it's very much not my strong suit. I know there are a lot of people that like finance and accounting and all this is like their strong suit. It is very much not mine. And I think there are ways to do it with services that are not super expensive. And if I'm really honest, probably should have done it right if we raised money so that we had better visibility into things like runway and burn rate and stuff like that. Anyways, I say all that because I've been spending a lot of my time this week on it, which means that like there probably is someone else that should be helping us with it. And just like, again, can see as we get bigger, hire more people, having all this stuff not be something I worry about is going to become like really important.
Yeah. And I think it's one of those things that I never thought much about with like, frankly, not really having experience in a large company ever. It's like my resume is I worked at Best Buy in high school. I gambled for a living for a decade. I consulted with small bootstrap startups. I worked at Groove, and then I bought a small company. And so I've never seen inside a company with more than, I think Groove was 25 people. And so like knowing what departments do, knowing what the business has to do, all those other things, it's just, I have no insight. I haven't had insight into that. And I think the first time when I realized, like, okay, these services, I can see how they're helpful, but I'm still the one like interacting with them, was when we first did bookkeeping and went with Bench. And I would see Patrick McKenzie and everyone just raving about Bench and how great this is. And I get in there like, yeah, but like, I still have to, at the end of the year, go through and make sure everything's categorized correctly. And a lot of times it's not. And I still have to, if something happens with the Plaid connection, I have to go and upload things. And I feel the same way about literally all of these services, where it's, they help do part of the job, but it's not like they do the entire job. And so it still comes back to me to then bring it across the finish line. And that's where I'm really more coming around. Like, I don't think there's a hire we're going to make, but I get it now of just someone who, whether it's an office manager, whether it's head of HR, whatever it is, that someone's like, they're the one interfacing with all of them and they're getting things across the finish line, even executive assistant or also a fractional like CFO. It's like, that's the part that's missing, where yes, keeping books myself, doing all these things myself would be way more difficult, but it's not as though just working with these services removes all headaches. And that was just kind of my naive view going into it, is that, oh, if I use Gusto for payroll, if I use Bench for bookkeeping, and I have someone to file my taxes, like, that's it. Like, I just, they can all figure it out. And like, I don't need to do anything. It's like, no, you're still doing a lot. And it's a lot of that kind of stuff is what really has built up to be almost my full-time job, of just a good amount of my week is coordinating all these things that have to get done that are essential business functions. But I don't need to be the one doing it. But right now, I am.
And I think with two things, I think one, that's why like the companies that raise, like you hear Jordan Gall talk about, like they raised like $5 million or whatever, and he like doesn't do anything with this stuff. Like, they have an operations person, or they pay the accountant $300 an hour to do all this stuff. And like, I get it, because like you and I are spending a whole podcast episode talking about how a big part of our week is this operation stuff. And like, say it's a $5,000 a month, 10 hour a week person to take care of this. Like,
I would pay for that personally. I feel like at this point.
Yeah.
I mean, that's I don't want to deal like, with this. Yeah.
That's not terrible math. It, not just for like the hours, but like the mental strain, like the four browser tabs that I have open right now, like that every time. Oh God,
and it's Colorado, every time I'm trying to focus on something that's adds value. Yeah, I'm just thinking like, oh, I still got to do this thing. I still got to do that. And it's just sucks to have the back of my mind know that I'm not super competent at these things and be the one to kind of figure it out. But yeah, I agree. And I think what I take away from it is that I think it's important, frankly, for as long as if you're bootstrap solo founder and it's really like tight on money, sure, do some of these things yourself, especially when there's like little to no revenue coming in. But I would at the very least sign up for like take advantage of these services that we've mentioned, or ones we haven't, but that do the same thing, to handle payroll, to handle bookkeeping, to handle tax compliance, even just get those in place. You're still gonna have to do work for it, but it's more, you want to get the longer you wait to set those things up, the harder it's gonna be. But also be realistic in that at a certain point, those services aren't enough. And I think that's the spot that we're at right now, is realizing that and just figuring out what is the stopgap here. Because we could probably find a way to pay for someone to do this. I don't think it'd be the highest, like the most urgent hire, but it's, yeah, there's some other service we can like put in to glue all these other ones together. That'll be amazing. And I know there are like fractional CFO things that maybe do that. I just don't know enough about it. So if there's a more productized way of getting something like this, I'm all ears.
Yeah. And I think that the problem with I don't disagree, because I think that that's probably where we are too. It's like, we use Bench and it gives us our income statement and balance sheet, and it's not accurate most all the time. And I think that's the problem, is like that, and then that interfacing with our accountant and all this is like, in a way, more work. I won't say it's more work than us just doing everything ourselves, but like, there is that mental load that just hangs over your head with all of these different services. And then if you try to like give the Bench reports to, you know, productized service fractional CFO or something like that, they're going to come back to you with a bunch of questions. Hey, what is this? Hey, why is this classified as this? Hey, what about that? Hey, okay, I'm building your cash flow statement. Like, we looked at hiring a marketing agency a while back and we didn't go with them because they're amazing, but they were basically going to do the kind of ideation of a bunch of marketing tactics, and we were left with the implementation. And we're like, I don't need more stuff to do. You know, I don't need more stuff to do. And that's how I feel about these things. It's like, these are all problems and I don't want to have problems. I want to have it solved, you know? And like, I think we probably will kind of keep where we are until we can afford to just have someone solve all of this for us. And like, I was talking to someone who went from like 20 to their, you know, hundreds of people now. And they's like, one of the earliest hires they made that really surprised them was like an ops or like head of people role. And he said it was really transformative because it just took all of that off of his plate. And like, they worked really closely together, but like, that person was in charge of like culture and making sure people were happy and compliance and all that kind of stuff. And like, yeah, again, I don't think it's the most high value thing for us right now, but like, when we talk in a year, I would bet one of us will have that in place, or we'll feel the need for it really strongly. I think we're feeling the need for it really strongly right now, but like, when it gets to that tipping point. The other part is like, I think you and I are similar, that like, we can do a lot of things, you know, in the company. And like, this is one thing that like, we just get stuck with, because it's like, there's no special skills to doing these things. And so like, we just get stuck with it, and it's kind of an awkward.
And when it gets related to payroll and all that stuff, it's
sensitive.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I mean, I think, again, that's the direction we're heading. It'll be interesting to see what that looks like, because I think the faster you want to grow, the more important it is to do this internally, especially on the people side, even more so than the finance side. But it does feel like the people ops is separate from the finance side, and to have a need to have the ability really to hire both full-time, is that's not cheap, and that's takes away from more growthy hires. And so, yeah, it's just a balancing act. And so I think, yeah, it is trying to find something that can be part-time and fill the gap until we get there is really where I'm at. But, and so I did say, I'll talk about some product stuff.
Cool. Let's do it.
If people made it through the venting and then all of that. But I'm hoping people can relate. These aren't unique challenges that we face. And it's just, if you venture backed, you have other challenges for sure, but you have the luxury of being able to hire early for these kind of things. And if you're running more of a slow growth company, it's just not as urgent to deal with. And that's fine too. It's just like, we're in that middle ground where we're definitely not like hyperscale. We're also not venture backed. And so, but we're growing enough where we're feeling it, but just don't have the cash to act on it. But yeah, so regardless, back on the product side, we are releasing a new kind of a rethought version of our sports betting plan. The primary focus of our company is on daily fantasy sports, but we've had this sports betting thing pretty much since the company started, where the way we create our projections on how we expect each individual player to do is by simulating out every game thousands of times. And so, yes, we'll see how the players are expected to do, but we also going to see what we expect the outcome of the game to be. On average, which with betting isn't that valuable, what we really care about is the distribution of outcomes. How frequently will the score be above this? How frequently will this team win? And so we've just, as sort of selling the sawdust, just put that data up as a separate add-on to the plan, but haven't promoted it, haven't really done anything to it. And one thing that's gotten very popular as sports betting has gotten more regulated in the US is what's called prop betting. And that is where you bet on the outcome of like the performance of an individual player. So will Stephen Curry get more than 26.5 points tonight? That sort of thing. And one, we're very well suited to doing that. But two, it's much more overlapping with our audience of fantasy players because that's what they're doing. Like that's what our product does is looking at individual player performance. So what we did probably 2 years ago, a year and a half ago, was put up a calculator where you could put in a bet, query basically our database of thousands of simulations, and we would just say, hey, is this bet profitable or not? How often do we think you're going to win this bet? According to that, how much do we think you should bet? That sort of thing. But there are literally thousands of these bets any night because you're betting on different players, on different stats. There's so many combinations of it. And so it just wasn't that practical. And the only people really getting value from it were people who either A, had a ton of time on their hands and could like built their own process and narrow down the list and then would look up probably 100 bets on their own. Or people who would just scrape the shit out of it and just find the bets. Neither is ideal, but the bigger thing is neither is that scalable. It's a small market. For the casual player, they don't have the time for that. And so what we're doing to transition is we can just automate a lot of that. We can analyze all the bets and then pick 5 to 10 a night, release those to subscribers at a set time and let them just bet that. And that will definitely piss off the people who wanted to be more hands-on, but frankly, they weren't paying nearly as enough as they were getting value back. And I don't think we could charge enough. And it's a small audience. And so I think with this, it lets us go much broader, still have a premium price point. But the bigger thing is it lets us simplify it, where it's no longer a development thing. We've been doing this in Excel. Our developers spent a couple days getting us all the data we needed. Then Ross from our team took all of that, built this Excel spreadsheet that takes a while to run, but he and I can run it. And so we're doing this manually right now. Once we get it proven out, they'll go in and the devs will probably take maybe a week to automate it, but we can test it out without that work. But once it's automated, that's it. We don't need to spend front-end resources on it. We don't need to spend just planning cycles on it. Like it is what it is. And so it'll let us focus the rest of the team on the DFS side of it, and give us, frankly, a product that will better serve our wider audience too. So early days for it. We've been in beta testing for a couple of weeks. Really happy with what we've seen so far. Rolling it out a little broader today. And then February 1st, we'll open it up a little wider. We think we'll keep it small intentionally, charge a higher price, keep it a small community, and go from there. But yeah, it's early days for it, but really excited about the potential there.
Do you see this being like a bigger source of revenue for the company long term, or is this always going to be like a side kind of thing for the company?
With the scale we've reached at DFS, if we keep the prop betting thing the way we have it laid out, I could see it matching our current revenue. I would be surprised if it was significantly bigger than that. Unless we made it mass market, which I don't want to do for a lot of reasons that we don't have time to get into right now. But I think it'll contribute meaningfully to our revenue, but especially to the bottom line, because it's data we already have. But I don't think it'll 10x the business. I think it could expose us to other ways that we could get more growth, but I view it more as like a stepping stone where this is what's in front of us right now. I think it can make a significant impact, but I don't see it as like the final road we'll be on to just grow massively from here.
I mean, I love the model. Like I think it reminds me of like people that sell like stock and or like stock market investing newsletters and stuff like that. Like the margin, like the incremental margin on those is just so good. And it's the same for y'all. Like you have the data. If you sell another subscription, it's 100% profit almost.
The hard part. And this is the stuff I wasn't going to get into. I might as well, because I feel like a lot of people are thinking about it. The reason why we can't scale significantly with it is so with the stock market, that's the most, well, you have the foreign exchange market of like currencies. That's the most liquid market basically that there is. The stock exchanges, whichever one like you want to talk about, like those are very, 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 very liquid. Someone selling their tip is not going to meaningfully impact their own profitability. And it's not as though when the tip becomes public, that it gets priced in immediately and no one can act on it. You could sell it to, I mean, Motley Fool has questionable marketing tactics, but their numbers back up what they sell and on their core products. So they have a lot of weird shit that like probably is more like selling stuff to preppers and that kind of thing. But the core thing is probably a good investment, and that's fine. They can do that. If we were to sell picks for betting on the spread of an NFL game, we could probably scale that pretty big because there's so much liquidity in there. For these bets, you simply cannot get that much down before the odds change significantly. And so we want to make sure that if we just didn't give a shit about our customers, yeah, we could sell it to a bunch of people. And so some of our competitors do that. And it then becomes a game of you have 10 seconds to place this bet or it no longer will exist. Either the book will take it down or the odds change so much it's no longer profitable. We want to find the happy medium where we can give people more time to bet. Not a ton of time, you'll still have to be fast, but like you can realistically get the vast majority of the bets we post, but we have to get compensated for that. So we'll charge a higher price, but keep it smaller. And so that's more why the scale is not amazing, but the margin's high and we can do that while still providing a valuable service to the customers. And that's where like the core thing, because frankly, like if we couldn't do that, we would just keep it for ourselves. And so that's like the alternative. And so that's kind of what we're valuing it against. When we look at the current tools, I would rather keep this purely internal than let people who want to write bots to scrape it profit while paying us like $60 a month. But I think there's a middle ground that, and then we're trying to figure that out. So
yeah. I love it. I love it. I love these like little tangential add-on things. They're so cool. Like, and they probably give you a lot of like energy, you know, to go do this one little thing that's pretty well boxed and you can see kind of how it goes and you return to the core business afterwards. It's cool.
Yeah, for sure. And it's been good again that we can test this in Excel rather than pulling developers off of it. So it's been fun. And yeah, hopefully I'll have some good updates in coming weeks.
Looking forward to it. Cool. Thanks for listening, everyone, and bearing with us. It's a long episode for us, but honestly, like on the op side, if y'all have any suggestions on processes or tools or people or anything like that, would love to hear from you, podcast@seekingscale.com, or hit us up on Twitter.
Yeah, and even if you just want to say, yeah, this stuff does suck, that would make me feel a little bit better too.
Awesome.
All right. Thanks for listening, everybody.